You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, we are indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right. 2:08 p.m. right now on Wednesday. It is Wednesday, hump day. Copper is running the board for us, too. Hey, Copper, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Is it Wednesday already?
It's Wednesday only. You say already. I say only Wednesday. I guess I'm usually a glass half, full guy. But anyway, it feels like the glass is only half full right now in terms of the week gone by. But
we'll make
Wednesday.
It in the end.
We shall indeed. And I got no fears about that. Hey, get that triple dipper sound effect there ready, Copper. Hey, good show for you today. I'm excited about it. At 3 p.m. today, we got former U.S. Attorney Jay Towns going to call in. Talk to us about this Rittenhouse trial, because the Rittenhouse trial has become one of those national phenomenons. It's, murder trials take place in counties all over the United States every single day of the year. But every once in a while, one of them galvanizes public interest. And so it's best to have someone. I am an attorney, but I purposefully have chosen not to practice criminal law. I want to hear Jay Town break it down for us a little bit, give us his expert perspective. So that's happening at 3 o'clock. At 3:30, one of my favorite segments, she's going to go live on the microphone, Copper's Corner. So we'll have Copper giving her perspective on life at 3:30 in Copper's Corner. Triple dipper sound effect. Hit it, Copper.
The Triple Dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
Yeah, three stories you've got to know. So here's the deal. First of all, I'm going to take some time to talk about one that I'm just calling witness intimidation. Witness intimidation, and it's not just witnesses in a trial, all right? I'm just talking about the fact that there are times when intimidation tactics are used to try and change the perspective or change the public image or change the narrative, and it's wrong. And so we're going to talk about witness intimidation. Sometimes even government does it. Nah, I got some stuff on that. Number two, we are going to break down the Rittenhouse trial. We are going to break it down because it does apply to a broader narrative. It's going to be interesting to see how this thing works out. But it's a wounded Wisconsin right now. But it's also it's still an open wound on the nation, what all occurred last year with the riots. And we will break that entire thing down on the Rittenhouse trial, things around it, and the trial itself. And then number three, I do not feel like we gave it enough time yesterday, and then more developments occurred last night. So I have got to talk about the rise of China. We are going to talk about the rise of China and what the experts are saying and how this could impact foreign policy for the United States. Going to give you some thoughts on that. So that's our triple dipper for the day. But I said that one of these is witness intimidation. Well, you know what drives me crazy? Well, let me rephrase that, because there's a bunch of stuff out there that drives me crazy. So one of those things that drives me crazy is when other people think they have a right or an ability or an insight to be able to define you, and it's obvious that they don't. Let me give you an example here of what I mean. As many of you already know, I spent 8 years as a state senator representing a good chunk of North Alabama. And people always think that because they know who you are, that they know what you are. It's called branding. Sometimes it's called slander. So I had this situation one day. I was giving a speech to a civic club in one of my towns, right? And out of the blue, a lady who works for the local economic development organization asked me in front of everyone if I was going to support a bill to allow for Sunday alcohol sales. That's the first I'd heard of it. I told her I was not aware of any such bill. She went on to say that without the sudden addition of Sunday sales, that we would never get any new restaurants. Well, I personally think that she was just not very good at her job, but I went along with it. I asked her, I said, well, how do my constituents feel about it? Have you polled them? She didn't know. I asked her if they'd done an economic impact study. They had not. She said the Chamber of Commerce believes it was necessary. I said the Chamber might want to call me and discuss it. Well, it became a whole thing. You know what I mean? Williams opposes economic development. Williams at odds with the chamber. No, wrong. Ain't it funny when people don't know what they don't know? How about the fact that I chaired the Committee on Economic Development in the Senate? How about that I received multiple awards for working with local governments on economic development? It was stupid, but it was their narrative. Well, what do you do when people decide that they are the authors of your persona? Well, you can take it or you can rebut it. In the end, the choice is yours. because they don't get to define you. In that particular case, I did face it down head on. I called for a meeting with the Chamber of Commerce. I asked them that they have a quorum of their board present at the meeting. I went to the board, and I told them that no one, and I meant no one, defines my relationships but me, and that includes my relationship with the Chambers of Commerce in my district. I also let them know that I respected the fact that a large number of my constituents were opposed to Sunday alcohol sales and that it should be given to the voters to decide. I also asked them to give us more work, more to work with. I told them that an economic impact study was only fair, because if they're going to claim that it would help economic development, surely they could prove it. But then I went one step further. I handed them a check from my office for the first $500 to pay for the study. You could have heard a pin drop when I introduced the folks from Jacksonville State University that were going to conduct the impartial study. And in the end, it all worked out fine, crisis averted. The study was completed, the bill ran in the legislature, the people voted, and now they can get a beer on Sunday if they want to. And truthfully, we really haven't seen much of an increase in new restaurants, you know. But hey, my point is you get to define you. You get to define your relationships. You get to define your intent. But nonetheless, this goes on all the time. This morning, early, I watched in some detail the description of what's being discovered about the FBI putting up flagging actions for parents who dare to speak out about their children's education. They've been called domestic terrorists, and they're on a watch list, all because of the National School Board Association. And the Biden Department of Justice is now investigating. How dare they? I've also been watching with disdain as activists have been gathering outside the courthouse in Wisconsin, shouting their calls to violence if they don't get the verdict they want in the Rittenhouse trial. There were also reports that jurors were becoming aware that their pictures were being taken by activists with the supposed intent of doxing them based upon their verdicts. That is wrong. I even had a caller, separate subject here, I had a caller on the show yesterday who was absolutely sure and wanted me to agree with him that Trump and Congressman Brooks had gotten in some kind of smoky back room somewhere and cooked up the whole January 6th demonstrations at the U.S. Capitol, because surely, surely, in his opinion, the two men who had sworn to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States were guilty of conspiring to overthrow the government. Without arms and without favorable legal authority, it was ridiculous. Well, there's a whole lot of stuff out there about characterizations and mischaracterizations as to who people are, what they think, what their intent is or was or will be. Here's the bottom line. You know you. Don't let others define you or cast you into a box that you don't deserve to be in, or at least as far as it involves your character. The bullies in the media, they're especially guilty of pursuing narratives that pigeonhole people. They cast aspersions that don't necessarily match reality, but surely match their intended storylines. Classic example. The former Covington High School student, Nick Sandman, he became the object of ridicule and blame. The media wanted desperately for the world to view this young high school kid through some kind of a jaded lens as a racist, an activist, someone who hates minority groups because he dared to stand there awkwardly while a real activist got in his face and chanted at him for daring to wear a MAGA hat. Nick Sandman, well, he's now set for life with all the proceeds from his litigation when he sued CNN. And sometimes, though, too, the media does it by what you might call obfuscation, just choosing not to report something, because to do so, well, that would allow you the opportunity to form your own opinions, and goodness knows we don't want all the facts out there. God forbid the story should be simply reported for what it actually is. How will those great unwashed masses know what to think if we don't tell them? Classic case on this is the refusal of the media to report the existence of the Hunter Biden laptop. By obscuring or withholding the facts, they left the bulk of the world without full knowledge, and they did so intentionally. But it's not just the media. Another classic example of how this happens these days in terms of rewriting the narrative of who you are comes on social media. You know, that quick fabric of loosely bound digits that consumes so much of our public discourse now. Let me give you three pieces of advice, by the way, on social media. Number one, it ain't reality. And number two, if you wouldn't be willing to say it to their face, then don't type it on your page and post it for the whole world to read. And number three, if someone on social media has summoned up some kind of keyboard courage to say something about you on their page, just remember that most of the folks that do that are just sitting at home on their couch in their stretchy flannel pants and their food-stained t-shirts, and their opinion does not change your life. What I'm saying in all of this is simply this. You define you. Nobody else is allowed to brand you. Nobody else is allowed to set the narrative for your life. Nobody else can read your mind. Only God can do that. Remember, God can know you inside and out, but the devil does not. The devil cannot read your mind. He can only whisper in your ear. You get to choose whether to listen to him. So don't let others intimidate, obfuscate, or mitigate who you are. That privilege is reserved for you and you alone. Only you define you. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yep. We're seeing it right now, man. I'm telling you. I've been watching the news as I've been getting ready for the show. Right outside the courthouse in Kenosha, Washington. It's ridiculous. And they're shouting in such a way that they hope the jurors are hearing them. They hope it. Man. More on that when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. By the way, I got some breaking news from OSHA about mandates. It's going to be interesting. I'll tell you about that. Be right back.